welcome to Write Through the Roof, the podcast for writers who want to improve their craft. I'm Madeline D'Est, and in this show, I'm interviewing writers of all different types and asking, what's that one thing that took your writing to the next level? So come join me and learn all the proven tips, tricks, and techniques to take your writing right through the roof. Through the roof. Today I'm speaking with Charles Chu. Hi Charles, how are you going?
Hi, I'm doing great, Madeline. How are you?
Very well, thank you. Although I just stumbled there, but we won't worry about that.
I'll be stumbling many, many times, I'm sure, during this whole thing, so no worries.
I could edit it out, but hey, I won't. A little bit of background about Charles. So Charles is a non-fiction writer currently based in Japan. His work has appeared in The Observer, Quartz, and The Business Insider. He's a frequent Medium contributor and editor of The Polymath Project. So thanks for sparing the time to have a chat with me today.
Happy to be here.
Excellent. Okay, so how I like to start off is to get you, warmed up a bit. So maybe some squats, some kind of arms,
lunges. Stretching.
Yeah,
lunges. Get the blood flowing.
Yeah, exactly. So, are you a plotter or a pantser?
Okay, so I would say that I am a plotter who sometimes pantses. So I'm not someone who likes to have a really detailed outline for everything I write, but I do, and I tend to write more short form, so I have a pretty good idea of what I want to say, but it's not necessarily written out before I do it. And I'll never start with no plan at all and try to write something. I can't handle that. Mm.
I just wondered with your kind of essay style whether you did kind of plot it out very strictly or.
I think I'm somewhere in the middle where I have a particular emotion or aesthetic, or it's either something emotional or something I want to get across, and then I'll think about what's the best way to present this in a way that people can kind of absorb it in the best possible way. And so I'll play around with that, and I'd like to have a pretty good idea of what it might look like before I actually sit down to write.
Cool. So do you have any writing rituals?
I have morning ritual. So it's not specific to writing, but I like to take walks. Not even in the morning. I like to take long walks in general, but I find that a lot of my better ideas, whether I'm writing fiction or nonfiction, tend to come from walks, through the park or just through the neighborhood. Mm-hmm. So I'll try to do that at least twice a day, long walks, from an hour upwards to 2 hours.
So is that quiet time? So no music or podcast or anything?
Right. I've played around with podcasts, but usually what happens when I have a podcast is I just listen to the podcast and no new ideas show up. So I try to leave everything at home. So I'll leave my phone, my computer. If anything, I'll carry kind of a small notebook with me and a pen, and I'll just walk somewhere and try to go somewhere new sometimes, go to the park, explore. And then, usually I'll find that because I'm bored, or maybe it's something about the writing, but the ideas start coming out.
Mm. There was a really cool article on brain pickings I saw recently about going for walks and noticing different things every time, even though you walk the same route.
Yeah, I think it might be a lot like that, though. I think I'm actually not as observant as I would like to be as a walker. I'm usually inside my own head. So, I've actually almost been hit by cars several times because I'm just totally not paying attention to what's going on around me. But, it's Japan and no one drives very quickly. So I've been everyone drives at, 10 kilometers per hour and, it's super safe. So nothing's bad happens so far.
Cool. Okay. Yeah. And do you have a writing fuel of choice?
Oh, absolutely. Coffee. Mm-hmm. Preferably not American coffee because, we don't have a good reputation for delicious coffee, but I like, Japanese drip coffee, and I tend to make my own coffee in the morning. Can go through quite a lot of that while I write.
So the Japanese make good coffee?
Yes, they do. I know Australia has a reputation for good coffee. I think Japanese coffee, I mean, they want to be, I don't know, Japanese people have a tendency to take things from other cultures and then just make it 100 times more refined. So you'll find cafes with really fancy equipment here. And but the coffee tends to be on the light side, so it's usually drip coffee and not, say, espresso.
Ah, okay.
Just pour over coffee, yeah.
Yeah, because I can imagine some of that kind of those big Italian fancy chrome machines would attract attention. I was just wondering whether it was more like Vietnamese style drip coffee, but
They have it's just a standard pour over with the filter, and sometimes I know there's some really, even in my neighborhood, there's some really nerdy. You'll go into a little place, it's just one room with four seats, and there'll be an old lady in there. She's 90 years old, you know, can barely stand up, and then she just makes the most wonderful coffee that you can't get anywhere else in the city. You know, it's just kind of how Japan works.
Oh, cool. How long have you been in Japan?
So I used to travel full time, but I've always liked Japanese culture. I studied abroad in Japan as a student, so I've been coming and going for about 7 years now. So in total, I've probably been here for about 3-4 years of my life.
Yeah. Okay, so we've got to know you a little bit more. So now I'll start to get into some more of the in-depth questions about your writing.
All right.
So how do you describe your writing, and what themes do you like to explore?
So I think where I differ from a lot of other writers is that, you know, I never really wanted to be a writer growing up, and I never had any, you know, I read a lot of books as a kid, especially fantasy. And, you know, it was mostly escapist fantasy, but, you know, Brian Jakes and Dragonlance Chronicles, things like this, Harry Potter series, like everybody read. But I never really thought that I would ever become a writer. And so it really kind of surprised me. Writing started as an experiment. And so I kind of, just to see what happened, I started a blog and decided to write about, I think it was one of the books I read. And, you know, that article I wrote actually ended up doing quite well. And so it kind of started from there. So, you know, I think a lot of my writing tends to have to do with books that I read. So my nonfiction writing, I'll find something interesting I'm reading, and then I'll take some interesting passages from that and mix in my personal thoughts. And that tends to be the structure of a lot of my essays.
So what drew you to, because you write about kind of culture and self-improvement and philosophy. So what led you down that path?
Well, I think it's always very difficult to actually figure out what the starting point is or was. But you know, one of my theories is that, you know, I'm Chinese American. So my parents are both full-blooded Chinese. I don't know if full-blooded is the right word. But they grew up in China. They were born in China. Yes, exactly. I'm fresh off the boat, or they were fresh off the boat, and I'm the first generation child of fresh off the boat parents. And so, but where I went to school, I'm from Florida in the United States, which is, you know, mostly pretty uniform culturally. So it's kind of conservative and a lot of white Americans. And so I grew up as a child really questioning, you know, where my place was. And so I always felt very isolated. I had trouble making friends. And so, you know, maybe part of why there's such a reflective aspect to my writing is that, you know, I like to question myself a lot growing up.
Yeah. Okay. So you had to do you did a lot of deep work, and you're just continuing that.
Right. Oh, but yeah, I mean, for me, I feel like I tend to not be good at anything at the beginning. So, you know, for example, I struggle a lot. I still do now, but not as much as I used to. Even just doing simple things like having a conversation like we are now, or making friends, it was always very difficult to me. And I really had to ask myself, well, how does everybody else do it? And, you know, I need a guidebook for this. You know, everyone else seems to do this naturally, but I need someone else to help me through this, you know? So, you know, I never feel like I'm naturally talented at any of what I do.
You seem to be doing all right to me.
So, yeah, a lot of effort behind the scenes.
All right, fair enough. So in that process of going from starting off with the, well, what you said before is you don't think you started off with much talent, but obviously you're getting a lot of eyeballs on your work at the moment. So what do you think was the one thing that has been most helpful in improving your writing?
Okay, so I mean, this is a big question. So we can talk about writing from a craft perspective, and then I guess writing as a business.
Absolutely.
So I mean, from the craft perspective, I think whether it's for nonfiction or for fiction writing, I think for me, the biggest help for me was to put psychology first. So, you know, if you go onto the internet forums and, you know, whether this is for writing or for exercise, weight loss, learning how to ride a bicycle, a lot of people will try to argue quite passionately about, you know, what's the best way to do X or what's the best way to learn X. And I think a lot of the formulas that people come up with or the routines or, the, you know, they'll say write as much as possible, you know, read 1,000 books and then write 1,000 short stories and then you'll be a great writer. I think a lot of methods ignore psychology. So, you know, you might have a really good method that works in theory for being a good writer. But, you know, if you can't sit down at the computer and consistently write for years, then it doesn't matter if the method is good, because you're going to fail, you fall off the train, and then, you know, maybe not get back on again. So for me, I had to make a lot of changes to make sure that, you know, consistency was happening first and I was actually writing things and actually showing up, and then worry about, you know, improving the practice.
Okay. So well, that's a really interesting approach. So you looked at yourself in terms of what other skills you needed before you even started to put pen to paper, basically.
Right. So, I mean, I wanted to make sure that I'm actually writing, you know, because I feel like for a lot of things I've tried, I have a tendency to kind of be too aggressive. And then, you know, if it's for martial arts, you know, when I used to do martial arts, and I'd show up for practice 4 hours a day and then get terribly injured and, you know, tear one of the tendons in my finger and then, you know, not be able to do anything, or become so burned out psychologically that I wouldn't even want to train martial arts anymore. So, you know, I'm very, I think, conservative about having the right, you know, whether you talk about routines or habits or systems in place to make sure that the writing happens. And then we can think about other things, yeah.
So was consistency the first thing that you worked on?
I think I've always worked on consistency before I even became a writer, because, you know, I had other things I wanted to do that weren't working out. I'm kind of a fitness junkie too. So I like to go to the gym, and I think a lot of the concepts there transferred to writing, but for writing in particular, I would say that, for the internet. So if you're writing, say, it's a very competitive environment, and I think, you know, writing novels is quite different from writing, say, essays or articles on the internet. And I really wanted, I think what helped me a lot was visualizing things from the reader's perspective. So, you know, I believe, how can I say this? I think it was really important to think about, say, you know, how easy is this for someone reading my work to understand? And, you know, how easy is it for someone to create emotional connection? How relevant is it to them? So I think I spend much more time than the average writer thinking about how digestible something is.
And you've learnt that through the writing to work out what hits and what doesn't?
Let's see. Well, some of it's happened through trial and error. So, like, I've tried a lot of different ways, say, for starting an essay. So I've tried anecdotes. I've tried using, you know, some of my essays feature notable persons. And so I've tried using, say, people that other readers wouldn't recognize as a way to enter an essay. You know, I've tried kind of a cookie cutter approach where I just start with a basic introduction and write the essay. And so, you know, I found that for me, adding some personal element to my writing people seem to enjoy that. But I've also, just outside of experimenting, I've also looked at, you know, many different writing manuals. So I've looked at, say, John McPhee, for example, or like people who write about how to write nonfiction, on writing. Well, is another example book. I've also looked at copywriting. So I think the internet, You don't necessarily have to, you know, copywriting is writing for marketing, but, you know, I find that a lot of the principles there you can use for, say, making your introduction to a nonfiction article more engaging. So, you know, I've kind of borrowed from a lot of different places and kind of tied it all together.
Yeah, copywriting is something that I should learn a little bit more about myself, because I know when I have self-published a couple of things and writing like little blurbs, oh, it's so hard.
It's so hard. Yeah. And you always, there's this kind of part of me that doesn't want to really think about that side of things. You know, I just want to get the idea out, or, you know, I don't want to, some way it feels like copywriting almost dirties the process. Even so, it's kind of finding that balance between, you know, it's not really about copywriting, it's just about making my work more presentable, or, you know, so it's been a learning process, and I'm still learning. I think I have a lot to learn still.
Whatever you need to call it to convince yourself to do.
Right, if you want to put it that way, right?
But that makes me think I probably need to get a copywriter on the show anyway. Okay.
Yeah, it'll be interesting.
Note to self. Okay, so are you trying anything new at the moment?
So you mean in terms of writing?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think I'm always trying things new things. You know, because I'll read articles on the internet, I'll read essays, and I find that, you know, different writers have different styles, and if I see something that's really interesting, you know, I'll try that out, because I still feel like I'm a novice or intermediate, and I have a lot to learn from other writers. And so, you know, even this year I've played with, say, using a more comedic voice in writing, or trying things more seriously, you know, more storytelling, less storytelling, being more objective, and, you know, and so seeing what I enjoy. So I'm always trying new techniques. I would say right now, what am I doing? I guess I'm doing all of that. I can't really pin down any one thing that I've been doing right now.
You mentioned before we started that you are moving into short fiction, and something
right.
To try.
Oh, yeah. I guess that is an example of something I'm trying. So I like to do sometimes little learning projects on my publication. And one thing I'm doing this year is writing. I'm trying to learn how to write fiction by kind of producing a lot of short stories this year and gathering rejections. So the fancy name for it is the year of 100 rejections. And the idea is,
it's are you the person behind that?
Oh yeah, that's me.
Oh, I've heard other people talk about it. I didn't realize that was you.
Oh, that's funny. That's funny. I had no idea that it was going making the rounds on the internet. You know, that's me. So, so yeah, we're recording this. It's April.
Yeah.
And so we're about a third of the way. I'm about a third of the way through. And so, yeah, it's been really humbling and exciting learning process.
Cool. So how many have you got now? Have you got your 30?
Ideally I should have about 25 out of 100, but, you know, how I'm convincing myself that I'm still on track is that the more stories I complete, the more often I can submit them and get rejected. So right now, as of today, I'm 13 out of 100 rejections. So quite a few more to go.
Well done.
Yeah, I know. I'm really good at being a failure.
But then you read those stories about, you know, the amazing people who have been rejected so many times that, yeah, it's just part of the process, isn't it?
Right. You know, yeah, I mean, how I feel is that I'm actually not very good at failing. And in some ways, I have a low self-esteem. So I don't like getting criticized. So this was kind of my way to get around that by reframing failure as something that I should be trying to do. So it's a lot less painful when I get that email from an editor that's clearly an automated response. Mm. And it stings a lot less when you know that, you know, you're aiming for failure in the first place.
What I find interesting, you know, because I go through that process as well, is it really depends on the day. Like some days it's just like, meh. You know, other days it's just like a deep wound.
Yeah. So it's one of those days where everything is going bad, you know.
Yeah.
You woke up on the wrong side of the bed, you know, headache, it's raining outside, and then you get the email that says you were rejected, and it just hurts.
Mm. Yeah. I think probably also from our side of the world in terms of time zones is we tend to wake up to those rejections.
Then it goes the rest of the day, it ruins the whole day.
Yeah. Okay, cool. All right, so you were talking a little bit more about some of the writers that you like. So what writers inspire you?
For my nonfiction writing, I read a lot about writers, and so I get a lot of inspiration from different disciplines. But I would say from fiction writers, I like science fiction Gene Wolfe a lot. I guess I should say something about why I like him. Gene Wolfe, I like how he kind of writes only for a specific audience. Like, he doesn't really care about everybody, but he wants to write for a particular type of reader who tends to think several layers into his stories. And even then, he's still able to produce really, you know, amazing works. And just since I'm in Japan, I guess I should mention Haruki Murakami, which is, the Japanese writer that everybody knows. But I read his semi-autobiography when I was in college. And that What I Talk About When I Talk About Running, I think, is the title. And I really liked how he kind of draws a parallel between running marathons and writing a novel, where you just kind of have to show up every day and, you know, to do your miles. And for him, it's sitting down at the desk and doing the work and doing the writing. But also, one story I like about Murakami was that I tend to like stories, you know, because I feel like I'm not very good at things when I start out. And and much of what I do, I feel like I started 4 years or 6 years or 10 years later than people. You know, Murakami didn't really write his, you know, I always feel like I'm in a time machine where everyone else is walking very quickly and I'm just trying to catch up. But Murakami, I think he finished his first novel when in his 30s or in his late 20s, and he was the owner of a jazz cafe or a jazz bar before he ever wrote a novel, and he finished his first novel in Japanese, however many tens of thousands of words, and then he looked at it and he said, "Well, I really don't like this. There's something wrong with the aesthetic," and so he just threw out the whole manuscript and rewrote it in English. So he doesn't even speak English that well, and he decides, because he can't get it right, to write his whole novel in English. And then he finishes the second one in English and translates it back into Japanese. Wow. And then that novel goes on to win the New Writers Award. So I thought that was just really, I don't know, inspiring story about, you know, he just decides to rewrite a whole novel in a different language in order to get things right. So
Does he do that now?
I think, if I remember correctly, that he writes in Japanese now, but he will translate his own novels to English.
That makes maybe sense, because they're just so beautiful.
Yeah, yeah.
That either he has the best translator ever.
Or he's just really nitpicky. He does it himself, yeah.
Okay, cool.
I guess I can mention one more person.
Yeah.
So recently I've been enjoying Ken Liu, which is another Asian author. I think as a reader, I tend to identify with people who are culturally similar to me. And so Ken Liu, he's a short story writer. Recently he's published novels as well, but he started out as a science fiction writer in Chinese American. And I think he really captures, I guess I like the story of how he became a writer by... He's a lawyer. He's a tax lawyer, I think. And he wrote his short stories during his commute to and back from work, his 30-minute commute on the subway. And I just really like that, you know, because people talk about not having enough time to write. But, you know, I think for most of us, we're not organized enough to the point where, you know, you can't find some sort of time to write a few words each day. So I get a lot of inspiration from that.
Yeah, from this. I similarly, for people with young children, I'm like, oh my, how do you fit, you know, a job, young children, and write, you know?
Right.
There's no excuses.
Yeah.
Everyone has the same 24 hours.
Right.
Cool. All right, so let's start to wrap up. I'll let you get back to your writing or your walk that you need. Oh, it is evening, so maybe you don't go for an evening walk. But what are you working on right now?
Well, like I mentioned before, I'm working on a lot of things. I like to, you know, just speaking of not handling failure well, I like to balance a lot of things so that if something goes wrong, I don't feel as terrible about failing. So, but, well, it's like I have 200 other projects that I'm working on, so this one failure doesn't feel crushing. But
you're very strategic.
Yeah. Well, you know, anything I can do to lessen the blow. But one thing, I guess, for me, the big project this year is the fiction project, and I'm just trying to spend some time writing source stories every day and improve the process. So if you're interested in following that, I would just search the year of 100 rejections on Google, and it should probably show up. So, yep, that's the project.
Yeah, because I have a friend who was trying to emulate it.
Mm.
So you,
really?
Yeah, so you've inspired.
That's good. I knew it was going to be hard, but I think it's a lot less scary now that I'm actually doing it. Mm. So, because you don't actually have to write a, the inspiration comes from Ray Bradbury, because he has a book called Zen and the Art of Writing. Mm-hmm. I think, and his recommendation to the young writer is to write one short story each week. And, you know, his idea is you can't write 52 bad short stories in a row. So, you know, I'm not really finishing one story per week, although I would like to. But even with that pace, it's still possible to get 100 rejections because, you know, I can submit a story more than once. But mm-hmm. the basic inspiration was Bradbury, so I can't take credit for that.
Oh, well, good place to get your inspiration from.
Yeah, right.
Okay, well, let's wrap up there and I'll let you get back to your work. So if people are interested in reading your work, where can they find you online?
Okay, so the best place to read is if you search medium.com for The Polymath Project, or you just type in The Polymath Project onto Google, you should find me, or thepolymathproject.com.
Any tips for any aspiring medium writers to get some of the eyeballs that you get?
All right. Okay. So, in case, I don't know how many aspiring medium writers there are, but I think I have some, some things that most people don't talk about a lot. Mm-hmm. So for people who don't know, Medium is a kind of a shared publication online where everybody can write their own stories and publish them. And then sometimes those stories get featured, or you can tag those stories, and then sometimes they get featured on Medium's front page and get eyeballs on them. And so I think what most people do and what makes them get discouraged is they'll write something and then they'll publish it without, say, they'll write a story, they don't have any followers, and they're not part of a bigger publication, and they'll publish their story, and then it gets no readers, and it's really painful psychologically, and you start feeling like you're a terrible writer and that you don't have any skill. But the mistake is that, you know, you have to actually, it's kind of sad. You know, I would like for the world to be set up where the best writing always gets to the top, but I guess you have to give it a little boost, especially when you're starting out. So I don't do this anymore, but I think when you're a new writer or you don't have a following, it's important to find several publications, like big enough public publications that accept writers, and then message the editor and say, hey, I'm a writer, this is what my work looks like, I would like to contribute to your publication. What do you think? And that's how I got started. I wrote in a couple publications, and when things started going well, I was able to start my own thing. But I guess you have to do a little bit of guerrilla warfare as a new writer on Medium.
Mm-hmm. All right, cool. So you got to be strategic again.
Yeah, strategic.
Yeah. Cool. All right. Well, thank you so much, Charles. It's been really interesting. So I'm glad you spent some time with me today.
Great. Thank you. I just want to mention that this was my first ever podcast and first ever audio interview.
Wow.
So if everyone thinks that I sound very nervous and awkward, it's because I am nervous. So.
Not at all.
Okay. Well, that's good. Hope maybe it didn't show as much as it feels like to me,
No, that's one of the things that you learn from listening to your voice a lot. I used to absolutely hate it. Now I'm just completely used to it, as you would imagine. But it's always quite interesting when I've taped something and think, oh my God, that was terrible. And I listen back to it and go, what was I worried about? So never fear. It was all good.
Okay. Well, great. That is reassuring.
Okay. Well, thanks, Charles.
Thank you so much, Madeline.
Thanks for listening to Right Through the Roof. If you enjoyed the show, please subscribe or spread the word by writing a review on your listening platform of choice. And if you'd like to get in contact with me, please go to madelinedst.com or madeline_dst on Twitter, no apostrophes. You can find the show notes for this episode on madelinedst.com under the Right Through the Roof tab. And until next time, what are you going to do to improve your writing this week?